I was supposed to be doing that Middlesbrough MUTV thing, and I swapped with him because of...
I was injured.
He was injured, and I don't know how it happened, but we swapped, basically. We're both injured, but Roy had been away or something like that. Anyway, the manager came down into the dressing room, and the minute that he said, you know, you need to watch the video, everyone needs to watch the video, and you said, yeah, come on, then let's go upstairs, I thought, that's it. That's it. I just knew. I knew Roy. I knew the manager. He knew the manager. I just thought that was it. There was no way that he was going to step back. There was no way the manager was going to step back. There were things that were said in that room, to be honest with you, that I thought. There was a moment where you spoke to Carlos, and I think he said something to the manager that I remember. I'm not going to... It's for you to say what you want to say. I thought, no, there's no way that this is going to carry on. I was hoping it could. I think Roy makes a point earlier that's absolutely true. I think if Roy had been 27, 28, at the level playing that he probably was at 27, 28, I think he did say things when he was 27, 28 that you could deem to be unacceptable. But I think at 34, it was just coming to an end. And I asked Roy the question, and I know, would you, the manager, have got rid of Roy Keane, the player, after that meeting? I think you would.
No.
I think you would. I'm not asking you a question.
Well, the meeting was right at the end, but I wouldn't have let it get to that.
No, but I think if a player come into the dress, I think if that meeting was horrific, by the way. I mean, it was, no, it was.
Which meeting? The meeting in the dressing room?
No, the meeting where we watched the video. It was horrific. Let's be clear here. No, I'm not, it's not fun, honestly. There were some lines in there that were... No, honestly, it was horrific.
What are you talking about, the video or the meeting?
The video, the meeting... the watching of the video, then the meeting after that, which was basically Roy and the manager, Carlos, Edward, the bit that... It was horrific. For lads in the dressing room...
He has it in his book what he said.
Pardon?
He has it in his book what he said to Kieros and Ferbs.
Yeah. For the lads in the dressing room who had obviously been at the club for 10, 15 years... To see this happening, it was horrific. Honestly, I mean, we spoke up, you know, Giggsy would speak up, I would speak up. You couldn't say anything. You could not say anything. It was, you thought, oh, for fuck's sake. You knew that that was it. You knew that that was it.
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
I genuinely believe that Roy Keane, the manager, would have gotten rid of Roy Keane, the player, that day.
No, Gary, wrong, man.
No, I think you would. I think you would. I think you. No, but I think he would. But actually, from our point of view, as players, we didn't have a problem. We did not have a problem because we worked with Roy for 12 years. From our point of view, I think his interview after Bayern Munich maybe in 2002, where he went straight on to ITV at the time, I thought that was probably more harsh than maybe the stuff that was said on the video on the day. You remember you questioned...
Yeah, but the manager didn't mind me doing stuff like
no,
that.
No, that's what I mean. That's my point. I thought that was actually worse from a point of view of more public. It was more... So for me, I was sat there thinking, fuck, this is horrific. It's a bad meeting, this. It was a shocking day. It was a shocking day, honestly, it was. And I can only say that from a point of view. Every player in that dressing room walks out of that room that day thinking, fuck hell, something's going to give here. Something's going to give. And it had been coming on it for a month. It had been coming for a month or 6 weeks. There was something else happened. I can't remember what it was. Something else happened before that, I think. There was something else happened. I thought, I'd seen it with Bex. You know, where that relationship starts, is how Bex has, you know, been in the stand at Leeds, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just see it happening, you just think...
It'd be easy to look at that as a sliding doors moment of you swapping to do that Middlesbrough game, but the way you're talking, even if you hadn't gone on MUTV, something would have happened around then?
No,
was the writing on the wall?
I see it slightly different to Gary, as I would do, because I was obviously in the middle of it. But even, again, I suppose my few hang-ups is go, yeah, there was all that tension, and just say, yeah, it was coming to a breaking point. Then you handle it differently. Whether it be, I'm sitting down with David Gill and they're passing me statements about how long I've been at the club, cash flow problems, leaving, but you can sign for another club. These are just lies. Really over the top stuff. And I remember we were training the next day and typical Ferguson, we're all doing stretches and he walks over, if you remember this, because the owner of the complex as well, or one of the owners was a Dutch guy. Fergus, do you remember? Yeah. So we're all sitting there doing stretches. We're all doing stretches. First came out, I'm looking for some senior players. Walk past me, obviously, forget that I'm the captain. I need some senior players, you know. Gary, Ryan, and whoever it was. You've got to go for a Chinese tonight, am I right? Was it a Chinese?
I think it may have been, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Chinese. And if I go for a Chinese, without you, Roy, you know, like, you can stick your Chinese. So it was all that.
The clock's against us, so just one last question on it, really. You know when you're in the office and you've just watched the video and the stuff you're referencing, Roy talks about it in his book, what he said to Kiroz, I won't repeat it here, you know, you're a bit of a go at Ferguson. Does any part of you, when you're in that zone where stuff's coming out, think, I am crossing the line here?
No, you gotta relax yourself here a second. Because same upside pan, people say, oh, you know, could you handle it differently?
Yeah.
Yeah, could you stood back? And let people walk all over you. The key is, when I watch this video, yes, whatever about was said afterwards, listen, I'm sure you'll go into it later, same with Saipan, people making accusations against you and you're sitting there going, what do you want to say? Going, no, that's fine, you have to fight your corner, you have to defend yourself. Hmm. And the key for me is, whatever about the video, and Gary said it was intense, we'd have a lot of heated discussions over the years, sometimes as a team, but you got to roll with that. That's grown men. We're fighting for the same things. There is going to be a bit of argy-bargy. I'm sure there's people here working in industries where things get heated. I didn't leave the office that day and thinking, that's the end of my career at Manchester United. Okay. I didn't think so.
Okay.
Listen, I didn't think it was all great. You know, let's go for a bite to eat tonight. But I'm thinking, this is all. And sometimes I think when you have these debates or heated arguments, I think it's good. I think it's good because you're all looking for the same things. You're all hungry. You want the same thing. No problem. But if you think I'm going to sit there, I don't care if it's Alex Ferguson or the Pope, and they start saying, yeah, you got to do it. Yeah, I'm going to fight my corner. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. But then,
because I tell you, if I sat there and said that, and I got to the players, would be going, hey, what's up with him? Just like a few months earlier when Carlos Queiroz threw the bib at me when you just stand up front.
Okay.
I had to take that and go, all right, listen, sometimes the coaches are upset with something. I'll roll with it.
Yeah.
But when they treat you with such disrespect, and then put statements in front of you and say, all right, thanks for 11 and a half. Ferguson, he was pulling me a couple of days later going, listen, right, your days are numbered. We get to January, or let's get to the end of the season. Okay. And I tell you what, I was at the club when Brian Robson left. I was at the club when Steve Bruce left. Two brilliant servants for Man United. And I didn't like the way they were treated at the end. So people talk about Ferguson's man management. Yeah. Don't be kidded on by all of it either.
Yeah.
Don't be kidded on by all that. And Ferguson came out afterwards going, well, I always done what was best for United, Manchester United. Nonsense. His son played for the club, won a league medal, Darren. Very lucky. His brother was chief scout for Man United for a long time. Hey, listen, I'm surprised his wife wasn't involved on the staff somewhere. Darren, his son, was at Preston one time. Darren loses his job. A couple of young players on loan for Man United. Guess what happens the next day? They're pulled out of Preston. Is that what's doing the best for Man United? Yeah. Do me a favour.
When in Pret-a-Manger this morning, I was so calm.
When did you last speak to Ferguson?
Not since then, obviously.
Not one conversation?
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No. No interest in speaking to the man.
Nothing even over the past year, the ill health made you think, maybe I'll just give him a call, maybe life's too short.
No. When he apologises to me. And David Gill. The players certainly, I felt, gave it their all, and I really couldn't fault them. Was there one or two towards the end? And when you've been with players for a number of years, and because there was a shortage of players, I did feel some of the medical staff were probably pandering to some of the players. That would irritate me.
Okay.
You know, when you're speaking to players who aren't injured, who didn't want to train, and there's a new trend, and not the Irish, but there's a new trend amongst footballers at clubs now. I had a little bit of Forest, and particularly one or two with Ireland. They're on a program, you know, and their program is they don't play and they don't train. It's great. So they turn off. They turn off for Ireland. And you go, but you're actually you're, the medical staff said you're fit to. Yeah, but I'm going to do something back in the gym. I'm going to have a dip in the pool. But would you not train? I don't know. Would you put your boots on and just get involved in the 9v9 or 10v10? So that bit at the end. But everything, the usual stuff. Then people go running to the media. They all have pals in the media. Everything, as usual, is exaggerated or a pack of lies. But I look back at the time I had with Martin in Ireland. And I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. It was a brilliant job. I got great job satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I was proud to be involved with them. But as I said, we move on.
I thought the picture was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought it was a couple of lollipops away from being a cracker. Their arms were just there, weren't they?
That was, the picture of the after Italian game.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Are you?
There you go. But just all it needs. Just.
Who's that hand on my head? But it's great. But football can bring you back down to earth. Because after the game, listen, it was brilliant. And we thought we'd lost it, I think, when Wes missed a chance.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere, brilliant. Listen, obviously fantastic. And I had that as a player as well in America. Brilliant. But then people drag you back down. Because I remember after the game, we're going back. And there's a bit of a sing-song, lads having a few pints, of course. And I remember Ollie texting me, Solskjaer. One or two people would get hold of my number, unfortunately. And he would text me. And he said, great result. I remember reading the thing, and he went, it's always great when you beat the Italian reserves. And I think, you bastard. Didn't know me. Yeah. And there we are thinking, Ollie's a good guy, you know? Yeah. Dragging us down.
Because
obviously the Italians made a few changes, did already qualified, but that was brilliant.
Do you class Martin as a friend?
Yeah, brilliant man. Really a lot of time for Martin. No, brilliant guy. A lot of time for Martin. Honestly, in the industry we're in, and it's, I'm sure the same for you, there's a bit of, dog eat dog and everyone looking after themselves and surviving in the game. I get all that. But I found Martin, even when things at the award, the end, he'd fight your corner for your contracts. And I don't mean for like Seamus and Gups and people like that.
Right.
No, I have a lot of time for Martin. And again, I think the treatment of Martin towards the end by a lot of the sections from the Irish media, it was obviously certainly personal, whatever you say, and it was nasty, because he's a good guy,
yeah.
And there's not many good guys left in football, let me tell you.
Look, everyone's heard the Stephen Ward WhatsApp about the Harry Arthur and John Walters issue.
Oh, yeah. Like, do you want me to get started on that?
Well,
it's a lovely story.
Like, when you hear that, you go, fair enough, that's what happened. I don't think it was an issue. Well, I don't see why you'd think it was an issue.
Put it this way, when I have issues with any players, I don't even think Wardy was there.
But no, he wasn't.
No, but I give an example of when you're working with certain players who are playing at a certain level. John, I think John Walters for the last 2 or 3 years, because I know he's on the circuit now, isn't he? He's a good talker, John. John hadn't kicked the ball for the last 2 or 3 years, but does a lot of talking. It's amazing. Imagine if he had a good career.
But he's still in the squad.
Harry Arthur's now, obviously, was at Cardiff, went on loan there, got relegated. Wardy. I don't think Wardy can get in the Stoke team at the moment. Stoke were bottom of the league. So, I don't know, maybe at a point. I don't know.
Would you class them as friends?
Does any part of it, though, when you look at, say, so John Walters is in that camp and he's in that situation where at club level he doesn't really have to train, his body can't take training, comes into Ireland camp, that's relayed to the medical staff there again, he can do one session out of three, that's kind of modern football, and that you may have to change your ways?
No. No, honestly, that is nonsense. This is the danger of the game. Don't get me started on John. I tell you, I've worked with John. John Walters. Talk's a good game. Imagine if he had a good CV. Imagine if he won a trophy.
Well, I think that's odd to have a good career as a professional.
Sorry?
He went on to have a good career as a professional.
He done okay. He done okay. And the games he was fit for with Ireland, he done well, I have to say. But towards the end, when players are turning up and creating stuff, do me a favour. So you're defending John. Do you know John well?
John has done some work with us, yeah.
Have you? I bet he has, yeah.
What did you say? you talk about that Bosnia night. John Walters was the one who scored the goals.
Yeah. How many years ago was that? So is he going to live off that? Like a certain player scored against Holland. You live off that for the next 20, 30 years. Listen, I know all about John Walters. I know all about him.
Are you going to tell us?
Bluffer. Again, talks a good game. And then there's the circuit, of course. There's all the circuit stuff. Goes on the TV, how harshly he was treated by me. He's crying on the TV. Family situation. He's the only one who's... Don't do me a favour. Not kicked the ball for Burnley for 2 or 3 years. I used to be driving the train, he'd be on the radio. You know what I mean? Why don't you lay low for a while? Lay low, take it easy. Look at his medals. Oh, that wouldn't take long, yeah. Couldn't wait to get out of Ipswich when I was the manager, making all sorts of demands. Ironically, 2 or 3 years ago, when his career was in free fall and he'd injuries, he went back to Ipswich on loan. Fantastic. I was laughing my head off. He missed the game. We get beaten at Wales. John played, didn't have a good game. Wardy played. They need to go back and watch some of these games back, remind themselves how bad they were. John misses the game. I think we go to Turkey. He speaks to Martin. He needs to rest for the game because Ipswich are playing Hull away, mighty Hull. And misses the game with Ireland. And guess what? Ipswich got beaten up at Hull. And I think that might have been one of the last games John had because, again, whatever programme he was on wasn't working. Because he finished with a knee problem 2 years early. Will you be seeing John soon?
I've no idea. Probably not now, I suspect.
I saw my best to him.
I'll be sure.
Well, he promised to pay me a visit at my house a few years ago, and I'm still waiting. And I gave him the address. Good old John.
Would you ever move back to Ireland? Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. I think I literally have that thought, I think, every single day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always there. But I have to look at the bigger picture. Obviously, I've got my family, but they're growing up now. And, I think there's not a day that goes by where I don't think, I'll eventually get back to Ireland, of course.
I know you've had an amazing time over in England, obviously. Is there ever a certain sadness when you think, geez, my age now, I spent more of my life away from home than at home?
Yeah, there is that, I think, obviously, when you get a bit older, people talk about getting homesick. Yeah, I get homesick every day, back for particularly for Cork. Yeah, it's really strange. So, but I also know that football in England's given me a great life, and it's given my family a great life, and my family in Cork. So I count my blessings for that. And I'm also only around the corner. It's not as if I'm in Australia. So I can get back to Cork. I do, over the last, particularly the last few months, I suppose, when I'm kind of not working full time, I love coming back on the boat. I have a bit of freedom. I answer to nobody. You're on about TV. I can kind of dip into the TV, dip back out of it. Jesus, honestly, I count my blessings. I'm very, very lucky.
Content?
I wouldn't go that far.